Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How hard do you think it's going to be to buy in? I'm not saying they can't do it. It's just, you know, if you put yourself in those shoes, you're thinking the way it went out for Bochy. Bochy didn't retire. He was forced out. He's made it very clear he wants to manage again. So he would have probably been more than happy to stay on with the Giants. So they know this happened to someone they love, and they know this is the guy coming in to replace him. So you got to figure there's going to be some curious looks at the very least when he comes in. Right, oh, yeah. Some curious looks. Plus, in that final season series of Bochy's career here, they didn't even bother showing up to play the Dodgers. Bruce Bochy's final game ever as a manager, which was a meaningless game for the Dodgers. What'd they lose that game?
9-0, I believe.
They had two hits.
The boating.
They didn't even bother showing up. They got railroaded in the series and didn't even bother to try to send him out on the high note there. There's something to that, in my opinion. There's something to it. So how hard do you think it's going to be to get the buy-in of these
guys? It depends on how many are remaining. Because if you look at the way the roster is, Madison Bumgarner is a free agent, and you would understand if they decided to part ways with him and not re-sign him. Jeff Samardzija in his last deal, he's a prime candidate to be traded before the deadline at the very least. Then you look at Buster and the two Brandons. That's about it as far as the Bochy-aligned veterans. Buster Posey is going to give the new manager more than just one chance, and I don't think Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford are necessarily what you would call boat rockers. The interesting one might be Johnny Cueto, who wants to pitch deep in games. And if Gabe Kapler's an analytics-driven guy and he comes out in the fifth inning when Cueto's gone 4 2/3 and asks for the ball, those are the situations I think that he's going to have to massage, because Bochy was so good with the pitching staff and unbelievable with the bullpen. You ask any, you know, Lopez and Affa, all these guys, they knew their role and they loved that. So I think that's going to be Kapler's biggest challenge, is dealing with the pitchers more so than the hitters.
How long does something like that take to get by? And I mean, you guys went through, I don't know if this would be the best example, but knowing you would be the first one I'd throw out, you guys loved Marty Schottenheimer. Loved him in San Diego. You went 14-2, and then the organization decided to go in a different direction because of the playoff loss. You guys didn't go deep enough in the postseason. So Norv Turner comes in and gets the job. Like, how does Norv go about getting buy-in? How do the veterans view that when you love Marty? I mean, you guys love Marty,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no question. You don't. The biggest thing is as players, you understand you can't shoot the messenger. Marty was the messenger. You can't shoot that guy because the front office has decided to bring him in. The biggest thing you could do is discredit or taint someone's history or taint someone's who they were. The worst thing that, you know, that Gabe could do is come in here and try to discredit Bochy and try to discredit what he did and say, hey, this is a new way. We're not doing it Bochy's way. No. With love and kindness have I drawn thee. That's a book that I read. And if you do it the right way, you can get the buy-in. And that's what's imperative. I remember being at Fresno State and Jim Sweeney had so much long history. Run to the ball, no dogs down, you know, offense, get the ball off, defense, get the ball back, offense, score. All those different sayings that I can just recall. Recall, defense, get the ball back, offense, score. All those things because of years of tradition. Before I got there, after I was there, that's who Jim Sweeney was. Bulldog born, Bulldog bred, going to be a Bulldog day I'm dead. He made those things up, those sayings. This is an unbelievable coach. Then you had a new coach come in and change it all. Get rid of all the history. Get rid of all the stuff. Take down our records because he wanted to do it his way.
And what was Sweeney viewed as in terms of Fresno State history prior to that point? Was he kind of like the Spurrier at Florida?
He would be
Bobby Bowden at Florida State?
Absolutely. He would be what Bochy is here. That type of a
so
winner.
So he had that type of gravitas,
yes,
as you would say.
Absolutely. And on the end, at the end of his, you know, getting a little older, he start to, you know, start to slide. You know, because it's hard to stay on that level. So, and then when you come in and you destroy all that in the community and everyone, you have to be sensitive to that. Players, former players of yesterday years and of current, start saying, man, what is this guy doing? And you have those things. And any of those guys are even around, even though this new coach came in and tried to get his coaches and his players and do all that stuff, there's still outside sources that are going to still come in. There's still outside players. There's still outside media that's saying, hey, who's Jim? And then all of a sudden, these guys start to say, man, this guy that was here was pretty good. Even though he didn't win at the end, he was still pretty good. Why are we doing this? people need to know history. So I think that that's going to be hard for him, but I think that he can understand that if Farhan and him work together, which they should, Gabe and him. So if that happens, I think that you can have this transition where it can be smoother. I think you can have this situation where guys can get the buy-in. It's just the way you do it.
And also, I think
Well said.
That's very well said. And I think the way it sets up for Kapler and Farhan is perfect because you look at last year's roster, and I believe they used about 60 different players in major league games. So we mentioned Yastrzemski and all Connor Joe. Remember the Connor Joe days?
Right.
All the guys who came through and all the players on the roster, for the most part, are newer players. So they don't have the same sort of deep relationship with Bruce Bochy. There's not a lot of guys who played 5 and 6 years for Boch. A lot of the roster now are guys who just came last year, Kevin Pillar, etc. So they're more in tune to the Farhan era.
You're right.
And if Farhan sticks out his neck for Gabe Kapler, they're more likely to go along with it because they're new here too.
But you're right. But at the same sense, with all due respect, I think that you're absolutely 1,000% right. But here, you do have a guy named Posey that's been around that still see Pilar come in and still going to have a spirit of gravitas toward him.
No doubt.
You still have the Brandon Belts and all those guys. So even though those have been a rotating door and been in and out, you still got a group of people. That's what I'm saying, the way you do it. And if you hear certain things, you understand who man's heart. See, you can tell me something out loud and do those things, but I can see your heart after. Give you time, you'll show me who you are. So that's why he has to be careful, because you still have guys that seen certain things, and they, even though they were in Bochy for a minute, they still feel the presence. They still understand what he did. They still understand who he was, even though they don't necessarily, that Farhan brought him in. I get that. But you still got to be this careful when you still have other people's disciples still around that place.
I love it. I want to do more on that. I also want to get into how does he win over the fan base, because that's going to be very important as well. Bochy is beloved amongst the Orange and Black fans here in the Bay Area. But Brian in Palo Alto on the line. We said the phone lines are open all day. Brian in Palo Alto, he slid into my mentions recently. Crop dusted Draymond Green like usual. Brian, I did see the tweet. Didn't feel the need to acknowledge it at the time, but you want to talk about Kapler. Welcome to the show. Fire away.
What's up, boys? How you doing?
We're doing well.
Yeah, I like the Kapler hire because I trust Farhan. The biggest reason why. To me, the just phony outrage of Giant fans around, oh my God. I mean, there's this Kapler story with the Dodgers is complicated, first off, right? But they were fine with a racist owner. They were fine with a president who assaulted his wife on camera. But now this is where the line is for them. Give me a break. You know, let Farhan do his job and shut up. Thanks, guys.
Who is this guy? I'm telling you, he's at the top of the caller power rankings. He grew on me like a fungus. It was always, if the Warriors are doing great, he cuts down the Warriors. If the Niners are great, there's criticism. Everyone's worried about Kapler. He comes in. I love the hire. It's the ultimate contrarian. I love it. I absolutely love it. Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Porsche of Walnut Creek, a Michael Stead dealership. All right, man, we are cooking today. We have got Michael Moore set to join the program at 7:30 today. He's going to be coming in red hot. The story of the day, of course, is the hiring of Gabe Kapler, former Philadelphia Phillies manager, 44 years old, former MLB outfielder. Now he's going to be the guy tasked with taking over Bruce Bochy's team, which it's no longer Bochy's team. We need to get past that as well, but tough shoes to fill. How do you go about winning over the fan base? I want to get to that in a second, but first we're going to go to the dial pad guest line. Very happy to welcome in our next guest. He's the king of Philadelphia sports media. You can catch him on Sports Radio 94 WIP, Fox 29 TV, Eagles reporter on the sidelines, Howard Eskin with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Howard, we appreciate the time this morning. Take us through it. In Philadelphia today, the fans are hearing the news that the former manager, Gabe Kapler, has been hired by the Giants. How are Philly fans reacting to the news?
Well, their reaction was they felt great that they got Joe Girardi, that the Phillies have Joe Girardi as their manager. The Phillies fans, and personally, I got to like Gabe Kapler. That's personally. He kind of grew on me. He really is a nice guy, very nice guy. However, I wasn't a big fan of the way he managed, and I don't think the people were either. And after a game where, you know, I can single out one game, they get beat by Milwaukee. I think it was 20-something to 4. Really, they got just smoked It was just, and the series was terrible. And afterwards, you know, everything was fine. He wasn't happy with the loss, but everything's going to be fine. Everything's not fine sometimes. And that's probably my biggest problem with Gabe Kapler. He tries to stay positive. And with the team, with the players, maybe that's all well and good, but with the fan base, and I don't know what the fan base is like in San Francisco. I'm sure it's different than the way it is in Philadelphia. I don't know if they're more passive and they're more accepting of that. But to answer your question about how fans feel, they just didn't like the way Gabe would lay things out after losing. And they didn't win for 2 years. So that was a problem. So they were happy once he was fired and once they hired Joe Girardi. But as far as in Gabe's defense, and I will say this, he's a smart enough guy. He's a very intelligent guy. Maybe he's learned from the things that didn't work here. You can't always – everything can't be okay if you get beat 4 or 5 times in a row. It can't be okay. And sometimes you got to have more discipline in the locker room, which I don't think that he had. He was too accepting of players that didn't play hard. Segura, the shortstop, and Hernandez, the second baseman, are two examples. And he didn't do anything for the longest time when they dogged it. And I'll use the word dogged it. But he's smart enough to maybe learn from his experience here in Philadelphia. And from that standpoint, he might be good for the Giants team.
One of the best attributes for Bruce Bochy was his handling of the pitching staff, particularly the bullpen. How does Gabe Kapler fare in that department?
Well, he's going to need his pitch. He's going to need the pitching coach and to really assist him. And he used the pitching coach. You know, the problem is the pitching coach in Philadelphia was an idiot. Everything he really was an idiot. It was Chris Young who got fired because they had to fire him. And everything was based on analytics. And that's the other problem. Gabe just loves those numbers and will recite those numbers better than anybody. But numbers off a computer printout don't win games. So when he worked with the pitchers, it wasn't him, it was his pitching coach, and everything the pitching coach did was basically analytics driven. And some of the pitchers wouldn't do what he wanted because you saw a different success from the pitcher when they didn't do what the pitching coach did. So as far as handling pitchers, ex-catchers and ex-pitchers, I think, are the best managers because they live the game on every pitch. And Bruce Bochy, in that regard, obviously was very, very, very good. Gabe Kapler's not going to compare to Bruce Bochy in that area, and he's going to have to lean on the pitching coach quite a bit to do those things, which he did here, and that was a mistake because the pitching coach here in Philadelphia was a complete idiot.
Well, to me, thanks for being brutally honest. I'm sorry for laughing there.
What are you laughing for?
Well, it sounds like to me that Gabe is competent. Sounds like he's a smart guy, understands the importance of numbers. But it sounds like, is this guy, I guess my next question would be to you, in your opinion, is he a leader of men? Does he have the gravitas to get guys to follow him with consistency? Is he tough enough, even though he knows all the ins and outs of baseball, can he get men to follow him? Can he lead men? And are they going to be disciplined to follow this guy in every which of the way of the baseball?
I think at first he can, whether he's a leader of men, because he's so engaging, and the players in that regard like him. Now, over time, you gain respect by what you do. Some of the pitchers didn't like the things that Gabe Kapler did. But again, that wasn't Gabe Kapler, although he's the boss, was the boss here, and he had that moron as pitching coach, and that was the biggest problem. So there, he will be engaging the players. I believe the players will follow him. But again, I think he has to learn, and I really think he's smart enough to understand, to look back and say, all right, here's where I did things well and here's where I didn't, and to pick up and be better at what he's doing. But the one thing he's got to stop doing, because the players don't want to hear about analytics, For instance, Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is used to hitting third. When you try to hit him lead off, when you try to hit him two, I don't think Bryce Harper just went out there and played. So didn't bother him publicly, but I just don't think players like switching around when they're for years been in a lineup in a certain position. And because analytics tells you, well, he should hit in this part, the spot in the batting order, and players aren't used to it, they will not accept that. And Gabe's got to, he's got to be flexible off analytics. And I don't know that he was as flexible as he needed to be. I think analytics is a joke, by the way. I think it's a disgrace for baseball. It's killing the game. It's making the game too long. It's about home runs. It's about not caring about strikeouts, and it's about walks. And somewhere along the way, you have to have a feel for the game. And again, I think he's smart enough to learn there's times that you can use it, and it's a good guide, and there's times that I can't manage a game based on a computer printout. If that was the case, just have a computer in the dugout and don't have a manager. But I think he will learn from the things that didn't work in his 2 years of managing, and we'll see if the players buy into it. But as far as leader of men, I think at the beginning they will be really positive towards Gabe Gapler, and then it's what he does after that.
He's the king of Philadelphia sports media, Sports Radio 94 WIP, Fox 29 TV, Howard Eskin with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Howard, we know you're a busy guy. Thank you so much for your time this morning. It's greatly appreciated.
Now, you can always have Chris Young, although he signed with another team, thank God, as a pitching coach.
I wish you were more definitive about your feelings toward the former pitching coach, Howard. You may want to work on that.
Let me throw in dope, too. He was a dope.
Dope works out here, Howard. It's California.
Okay. We appreciate it, Howard. Take care.
You got it. Bye-bye.
I got the king to laugh, Joe. My day's made right there.
He's good. He's funny.
If you've never seen a picture of him, look him up. He's always on the Eagles sidelines. Especially in winter, it's the best because he's got this unbelievable mane of hair and this ridiculously gaudy fur coat that he's always wearing. You cannot miss him on the sidelines. He's been doing sports media. He's been doing sports talk and everything in Philadelphia forever, ever, ever. He's had run-ins with everybody.
Classic.
But that's what it sounds like there. Like, the guy's a dope. I'm surprised it took that long to get that word out because that's one of his things. But Wow. You get an idea, though. A very interesting nugget in there as we're having some laughs over it. In Philly, that's the mindset. You come off these blowout losses or the team's disappointing, people don't want to hear you give them the rainbow approach. Oh, it's going to be okay. No one wants that. You're not supposed to be that happy coming off a loss. Here, it's very different. That mindset and that approach has a much better chance of working here than it does in some place like that.
It does, as long as it plays inside the clubhouse. And that's where, if he's going to the clubhouse after they lose 20-4 and it's, hey, everybody, let's have a ping pong tournament, that's a different story. When you come out to the media, at that point, you're basically protecting your players by saying, it's not that big a deal, and it's just one game out of 162. I, as a player, would like that as a manager because, Lo, you know this, if you lose a football game 45-3, you're well aware of the fact that you lost 45-3. The coach can be upset. He can come in and chew you out. But to go overboard, that's when you start to lose the locker room because it's just one game.
It is. And I think that's why you hear Kyle Shanahan when he says, hey, our defense played okay. We played well. But our offense, you know, the effort was there. But it's way too many turnovers.
How about the quote on Pettis? I got it right here. Did you see this yesterday?
No.
The quote on Pettis. He's had his opportunities. The more he doesn't take advantage of his opportunities, the less opportunities he gets.
There you go.
That's what you want.
And that's the thing. So I do agree with you, but you don't just kill the player, but you got to let him know, hey, look, you don't got to call individuals out. That's when that coach, you know, Shanahan was asked about Pettis, and he had to be honest there because it's been something that's been occurring over
right.
and over again.
A progression.
Yes. So you got to call players out too a little bit because if not, what I'm hearing, this guy's Norv Turner. And Norv Turner is a bullfrog in cold water. But what's the end result? Because you put him in cold water, you're getting ready to bowl. A bullfrog, you put a bullfrog in hot water.
He's going to jump out.
Right away. But you put him in cold water and you turn the stove on and let it go and let it put it on low, he'll stay in that water and cook himself and he'll die. That's what North Turner was. North Turner wasn't that coach. Okay, he's going to jump right out because he looks like, you know, if he's just horrible right away, so the Frog's not going to stay in there. But if you're good enough and you can just let it sit around, you boil that water, wow, that Frog will just eat it, it'll bowl itself up and won't even jump out. That's what it sounds like. You have a guy that knows X's and O's. North Turner was one of the best offensive coordinators in the game. Wade Phillips, another great coach. You guys talk
another
about
bullfrog in the water.
You talk about Fangio, unbelievable assistant coach. What happened to head coach? A lot of guys, they have to learn that, and maybe he's young enough that maybe he understands that. So what I'm hearing is the guy can coach. He knows X. He knows analytics. He knows all these numbers. He knows everything. But can he hold the guy's attention? And that's two people that's came on and said he's fading. Not that he's not a good person, not that he's not a good manager, but he does not able to hold these guys. That's a problem.
Michael Morse, former Giant, coming in hot next. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Ticket Crushers. The search is over. The Giants have hired former Phillies manager Gabe Kapler. The team will introduce their 39th manager today in a press conference at noon, and you can listen to it here on 95.7 The Game. But who is Gabe Kapler? Is he the right guy for the job? Former Giant Michael Morse will give his takes on the hire. That's coming up next. You do not want to miss it. 49ers have been flexed in. Niners and Packers will be the primetime Sunday night game, week 12. The week 16 Niners and Rams matchup has been moved to Saturday night. We'll talk about the Niners in the spotlight and how they'll rebound after a loss with former Niner coach Steve Mariucci at 8:30. The Warriors hit the road next up LA to face LeBron and the Lakers tonight. Coverage starts with Warriors Live at 5:30. Tip off at 7 here on 95.7 The Game. Got a ticket to spend a licensed DUI? Don't pay. Let the attorneys at Ticket Crushers go to Corfu and crush that ticket for as little as $149. Ticket Crushers knows how to win. Call 866-TICKET-HELP. That's 866-TICKET-HELP for a free consultation. I'm Anna Kagadaki's on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
We're going to go to the dial pad guest line right now. Former Giant, you can catch him doing Giants pre and post over at NBC Sports Bay Area. Michael Morse, kind enough to join Joe Lowendibs here on 95.7 The Game. Michael, first and foremost, we appreciate the time and we appreciate you joining us on such short notice. You hear the news yesterday that Gabe Kapler is the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. What are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, hey, what's up? First of all, thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course.
You know, it's going to be tough. So, you know, the biggest thing, you know, I could go on like a 5-minute rant about, you know, the good, the pros and the cons and everything. But I think what we're going to see a lot of is that, you know, San Francisco fans are used to the best of the best. Everything for a decade, San Francisco set the bar in everything on the field, off the field, clubhouse stuff, you know, everything. So when there's change, you know, we're used to seeing, you know, the best. Well, you know, we're seeing a guy that, you know, is coming here now that he had a pretty tough year last year with Philly. He got fired. He was there for a year. And now he's coming into a fan base where, hey, we want to win. We want the we're used to Bruce Bochy. You know, we're used to the best there is. So anybody is going to fall below Bruce. And so it's mixed emotions. I think we just got to let the guy run with it and see what he can do.
Isn't this signaling more of a philosophical transformation for the organization? You had new GM come in, new president of baseball ops, and now a new manager. Last year, the roster turnover was more than we've ever seen before in the Giants organization. Doesn't this become just a natural progression in the evolution of this team?
Yeah, and I think a lot of fans are noticing right now what we had. And, you know, you kind of took it for granted. I mean, for a decade. From 2010 to 2015, the Giants, the GM, the coaches, the guy that sold hot dogs, the ticket salespeople were the best in the biz. Like, there was no team, no franchise better than the Giants for 5 years. So, you know, everybody that was part of that, you know, learned, got good, so good. And, you know, our coaching staff learned from Bruce Bochy, one of the best. And Bruce surrounds himself not with just regular coaches, with guys that are almost managers themselves. So everything was a certain way. And now Farhan's come in, and yes, I get it. Rebuilding is starting. And, you know, the word rebuilding is scary as it seems, but it has to happen. You know, the only thing that kind of, you know, ticks me a little bit is that, you know, when guys come in saying, oh, well, you know, this guy was when I was with the Dodgers, or this guy was when the Cubs and this and that. Listen, we stomped on those teams back then. You know, those teams are having some success now, but are they winning World Series? Because if they're not, then, you know, we won 3 World Series in 5 years. You know, that our GM at the time was legit. You know, I love Sabian. I think he's awesome. But times have changed, and, you know, things are changing, and which they should. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them. It's going to be tough for everybody. And you know, a lot of the baggage coming with Kapler, with what was going on in L.A., you know, a lot of people don't condone that stuff, and I think it's terrible. But, you know, I hate to bring that stuff to the Bay. You know, I feel like we've done so much here to bring another team's problems, you know, now are getting brought up here.
Right. I totally understand exactly where you're coming from. When you think about Gabe, you're hearing different things, you know, through the MLB, that great analytics guys, knows the nuances of the game. But some of the questions is like, is he a leader of the men, especially when it comes to the second half? Is he so much relying on analytics that can he relate to guys? Can he hold them? Does he have the gravitas to lead them? Are you hearing those? And if so, what are you hearing?
Well, you know, I only can see what I see when I see a team play.
Sure.
Okay. When I watch Philly, you know, I saw how they just fell apart. You know, and if a team falls apart, where does it fall from? It starts from the top. So something was going on when it comes to management, and it led to being fired. So, you know, that's questions that, you know, I'm hoping Farhan, you know, asked. You know, at the end of the day, I don't care what kind of manager, I don't care his personality, I want him to lead my ball club to go to war.
Sure.
So I'm hoping those questions got answered and solved. You know, and again, analytics can only take you so far. You have to have people that know the game. Bruce Bochy, a guy could be 0-for-30, and Bruce Bochy might see him in BP crushing the ball and feeling good. Guess what? He's going to be in the lineup. Even though analytics say, hey, this guy's 0-for-30, he shouldn't be playing. Well, Bruce is going to go by his eyesight. You know, that's a little different in analytics. You know, analytics only take you so far.
Michael Morse joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Given the current state of the roster, what's a reasonable timeline for fans to expect this to get to a point where the Giants are back in contention? Like, we never want to go too overboard. We want to be patient, but we don't want to be too patient, right? We want to see results. Yeah. So what do you think is reasonable?
So baseball is like a roller coaster. Okay, a team gets built up, and you start winning. You start getting playoff chances. It's like, if you think about a roller coaster, you're going to the top, right? Then all of a sudden, that window's about to close. There's a steep drop. And while the team's getting built up, you know, while we were doing good in San Francisco, other teams were doing terrible, but they were building up their farm system, getting ready for their run. Well, let's put it this way. The Nationals this year, their window might be over. They have two huge pieces that they have to figure out how to get back, or their window's closed. And they've had a long run. They've had 5 or 6 years of good baseball. They never could get to the World Series. Guess what? They finally got there now. Their window might be done, or they might have a chance next year, but it's slim. So it's all a roller coaster. And we were so good, and now we're seeing the dip in the roller coaster. Yeah, it's going to take a while for us to get back up there. It's a climb, and it doesn't have to happen overnight, and there's going to be some ups and downs. Do I think that, you know, we're starting out the right way? Yeah, I do, but, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, finding 30 guys and hoping one sticks. You know, I'm not a big fan of that. I think that you need to go out and get established guys that you know that have a history in the game and know what they're going to do, or have an idea what they're going to do. I just don't like the fact that, you know, let's grab everybody's guy and see if one of them, you know, makes it.
How much did last year's surprise run in the middle of the summer maybe change or recalibrate expectations for this year's roster, especially as it pertains to Gabe Kapler coming in and now being able to take over this team and do more than what Bruce Bochy did?
I don't know, because he was on the East Coast, so I don't know if he knows much what was going on in San Fran. But, we did see a couple pieces last year that are definitely going to stick. I just don't know. I don't know if, you know, we still got to figure out what's going to happen with Brandon Belt, what's going to happen with Kraw, guys like that are tied up with the money, but haven't been performing like we've wanted. If we're doing a whole change, then I think we're going to see a change in some of the guys' playing time and the leadership, not only the leadership, but just the main core, you know, has to start changing.
Michael, before we let you go, I wanted to get your thoughts on the story that broke yesterday. The Houston Astros now embroiled in a cheating scandal. Mike Fiers came out and outed the team, basically said in 2017 they were using a camera that was either in the outfield or left field to steal catcher signs. And then what you'd hear in the dugout is a loud bang if they knew a changeup was coming. So they were using these audible sounds, whistles and bangs, to indicate to the batter what the pitch was. What do you make of something like that as a former ball player?
I'll tell you what, if I was up at the plate and they were whistling and banging, I'll call timeout and just yell at them, stop. Just stop. You guys are screwing me up, man. Things happen so fast. The signs are put down in a way so fast, and then the pitcher's about to the crowd noise. I know Mike Fiers. I work out with him. I used to work out with him in the off season. He's a great guy. I think he's a little butthurt over they didn't sign him back after 17. I just don't see. Every team tries to find an edge, whether it's If a man's on, if you're on, you know, runner on first base, you know, let's see if he lifts the pickoff move, for instance. You know, we always watch film on the starting pitcher to try to find any little tips he does on his pickoff move. Or if, like Steven Strasburg, everybody said he's tipping, you know, stuff like that. It happens. It's baseball. It's part of getting an edge. We're using a camera and all this stuff. I don't know how an organization would go about doing all that. And then, what would you have meetings with the team? Like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This guy's name is Dan. You know, he's our camera number five. Like, I don't see it really happening. Maybe he might have thought. I don't know. But if it is true, then, something's got to happen, because that's ridiculous.
Michael Morse, former San Francisco Giant, one of the best. You can catch him on NBC Sports Bay Area, Giants Pre and Post, with Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Michael, we appreciate the time and the insights, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, man. Thank you, guys. Later.
I love this story because they've got video of this with people breaking it down. So Fiers is pitching for the Astros in 2017. He basically outs the team and says they're using a camera in the outfield to steal the signs that the catcher's putting down. And they're recognizing it and then immediately relaying the information to the dugout. And then in the dugout, they would have a signal to the batter as to what was coming. So there's this video that shows a series of the deuce goes down, the changeup's coming, and then you hear bang in the dugout. Someone slamming something in the dugout, and then they show the batter preparing for the changeup. And then it shows a series of pitches that aren't changeups. You don't hear a bang. And then again, the deuce goes down. It's a changeup. You hear the bang. They're whistling, banging, doing all this nonsense in the dugout to try to signal. And I'm thinking about this, and like, Yankee fans are furious. This goes back to 2017. Like, forget the Yanks. But in 2017, the Dodgers, everyone accused Yu Darvish of tipping his pitches in the World Series because he got lit up in that World Series. And now it might turn out they were cheating all along. The Astros have become Facebook. They're Facebook. Remember when Facebook started? Like, people were on it. They liked it. They enjoyed it. There was the book called The Social Network by Ben Mezrich. It's a terrific read. The movie comes out. David Fincher directs it. Like, everyone's kind of into this story. They're in the Facebook. Your life's on there. It's such a great thing to keep everyone connected. That was the Astros. They were this tanking story. They had Altuve, then Correa, then Springer, and then this fun-loving bunch, and then all of a sudden they pop like Facebook does, and then all of a sudden it gets dirty. Like, you know, the thing with the female reporter, how poorly they handled that during the World Series, and then this cheating scandal. It's like Zuckerberg. Now no one trusts Facebook. No one trusts the Astros. That's what the Astros are. They're Facebook.
Yeah, and if you look around social media, there's a lot of different sites doing a lot of different things, yet much like the Astros, they're not the only team that's cheating in baseball or stealing signs. Sign stealing goes back as far as the first time a catcher put down a sign and there was a runner on second base who tried to peek around the pitcher's shoulder back in 1997. So it's not like this is a new phenomenon. It's the brazen way in which they purportedly did it. And now the fact that Mike Fiers is a smoking gun. Other former Astros, I'm sure, will come out and say exactly what was taking place. But teams have been doing this ever since the first pitch was thrown.
Am I supposed to even get outraged anymore?
No, you're not. You're supposed to be disappointed, but you know it's just, is it hard to stop? Without a doubt. Just like all these AAU basketball, you see these coaches, they have these young kids. The guy at the school is taking care of the AAU coach, you know, the coach, and he's kicking him down. So that kid mostly going to go to the university. They already got him shoes through Nike. It's just a funnel. It's a cesspool. But you let and see that all goes down. You see the NCAA. It's a multi-million, billion-dollar industry. They want to govern and do all those things. They get paid off the kids, all the stuff that goes on. And we say that we're trying to stop it, but you got this good old boy network that just, they got all the money, understanding what's going on, don't want to pay the kids, and it's just, this thing continues. You had SC when they were on the top of their game. They win a national championship because of a player. You know, look at they take his Heisman.
Talking about Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush. They take the Heisman. They take the national championship.
What he did to Fresno. What he did to Fresno.
They take all those things away, but yet and still you see in the pros. Yeah, something might happen. What, you get a fine? They won't have an asterisk by theirs. They won't take away the title. They won't do any of those things. So what are you teaching from every level? So it's tough. You are supposed to be outraged, but it's like, what do you do?
Steve Mariucci is going to join us at 8:30. But back to the story of the day. The Giants have found their man in 44-year-old Gabe Kapler, formerly of the Philadelphia Phillies, where he went 161 and 163 in two seasons with the club. John Heyman, Radio.com, MLB insider, joined us this morning to talk about the hire. He had this to say.
The reason this took so long is they were anticipating a backlash, and they were trying to judge exactly how big the backlash would be, how big a PR hit that they would take, and whether it was worth it to do that going forward. And I think basically they were leaning this way probably the whole time.
Think about the mindset, right? Think about the mindset. You have to love this guy. You have to be so convinced he's the guy. If you know coming in, all right, it didn't work out in Philly. Now, that's not to say it's all his fault. It's part his fault, but it's not all his fault. There are a lot of people that are responsible for that. But to see what happened in Philly, to know that the fan base isn't excited about the hire, because the rumor's out there, I think they're going with Kapler. No one got fired up about that. And then with the incident that happened with the Dodgers back in 2015, more on that in a bit. All that out there, you still decide he's the guy. And you don't try to news dump it. You don't try to slip it through. You launch it out there Tuesday night so that everyone can come in Wednesday, right in the middle of the week. You know it's the transition day, so the NFL, if there's ever a point where the NFL could take a backseat during football season, it's Wednesday in the media world. You get it right out there in front of everybody so that it can be addressed. They must love this guy.
And I think that by love this guy, you mean Farhan Zaidi, because Farhan
is loving Kapler.
Yes, and them loving Farhan, them being the ownership and the organization, because you don't bring in Farhan Zaidi to be president of baseball operations and say, congratulations on your job. We're going to hire your GM and we're going to have all the say in your manager. Enjoy your time here in San Francisco. When you brought Farhan in last year, you basically told him, here's the keys. Here's the keys to the kingdom. We're going to give you a shot to build it as you see fit. He hires the GM yesterday. He wanted Gabe Kapler all along. And so for Farhan, this is him sticking his neck out in the biggest possible way. The fan base is not thrilled from what we've seen on social media and other reports, comments and stories. You're not seeing a ton of great hire. How'd you get him? So if he's a success, now Farhan can sit back and say, see, I overhauled the roster. I brought in the right GM and my manager is a winner. But if this thing goes south it all claps all the way back up to him, and ultimately it might cost him his gig.
One of the concerns I have is that I want to sit back and be patient. I want to say, take your time, do what you need to do, trust the process, as they like to say, and we'll see how this thing plays out, right? You don't want to jump all over it either way. You're going to have people, sycophants, that jump all over this and talk about how wonderful a hire it is. Then you'll have the naysayers who come out and absolutely crush it. The reality is there's only so much information with which you can base your decision. You can make a prediction, but you can't make a definitive statement on how this is going to play out. So my thought process is, from what I've seen from Zaidi so far, he seems to be a guy who's in tune with what's going on. He puts the work in. If this is his decision, all right, let's see how it plays out. But the one drawback here is that Kapler's bringing some baggage to the table. And as a result, the minds of the fan base have been primed. And when you've got a primed mind, it could speed up the clock. Case in point, the Warriors coming into this season. Right before the season started, you started to hear a lot of chatter about, hey, you know, it's this, the real NBA. The real NBA, things are going to be very different this year. They started to prime your mind. Now they're out there, they're what, 2-9? And they got the Lakers tonight? No one's that upset. Because you were kind of told it was coming. You kind of could see it on the wall. They've given you a lot of success. But you were also primed a little bit, right? You were primed a little bit. You were primed with Tom Sula when it came in. You knew from that first interview with our boy Tokyo Jim Cozumel, that thing was going to be a disaster. And sure enough, you never wanted to give it a chance. Priming the mind, setting the stage. My old man used to always teach me this. Just, you know, telegraph the blow, right? If you're going to try to convince the missus that you want to go to Vegas in the fall, kind of mention it in passing, but don't really get into it. Just kind of plant the seed, telegraph the blow, and then come back later so that it's not a complete surprise when you lay it out. The fan base has been primed here. And what they're primed with is they don't necessarily like Kapler, or they're a little bit skeptical of it. They're not looking at this as, oh my God, this is the guy. In Philly with Girardi, yes. In Anaheim with Madden, yeah. You're coming in thinking, these guys have done big things. We got a huge season coming up. And if it fails, it's a surprise. This one's kind of laid out where, I don't know about this guy. Didn't work out in Philly. The incident in L.A., they covered up the sex assault thing. They didn't report it to police. What am I supposed to think of that? I don't know about the hire. And now, if you start the season 10-22, people are going to start asking a lot more questions. The whole idea of rebuild and give it time isn't necessarily going to apply in the same manner as it would for necessarily a different hire.
Yeah, and I think that this all is going to come down to Farhan's ability and Gabe's ability to hire the right coaches. The assistant coaches are going to be huge, especially everything that you're hearing. And every time we bring on someone, he said, hey, look, he said, Gabe relied a lot on the pitching coach. And you got to realize it. And they said, but the pitchers didn't buy into what he was selling. It wasn't necessarily Gabe they didn't buy into, but they didn't buy into the pitching coach. And so they did their own thing and they had more success. So what does that tell me? That tells me as a player, they wasn't committed. They weren't committed to the pitching coach because he might tell them to do something, but they're doing it their own way. Because their mind was committed to their own way, they're going to have more success. And they didn't buy into what he was preaching. So I think it's imperative that if you're going down this road, and Farhan, like you said, he must really love this guy because he's willing to take on the risk and the baggage that's come with Gabe. So what does that tell you? That tells you that they better do a hell of a job bringing in the right assistant coaches, because you know who Gabe is, Kapler is. You know that he's a great analytics guy. You know that he knows baseball like the back of his hand. That part he has. He's competent. But one thing you don't know for sure, does he have the ability to hold these men for a whole season? And what we've seen thus far is he doesn't. So it's going to rely a lot on his assistant coaches.
I think you made an interesting point with Michael Morris, Joe. You asked him what the expectation level would be. If he comes in and he goes 161 and 163, which is two full seasons with the Giants, how do you feel if you're a Giants fan? Because the last 3 years, you haven't played 500 ball. And you look at this roster, and you don't see a 90-win team right now. I know we still have free agency to go. We don't know about Bumgarner. There's rumors that Brandon Belt may be traded, etc. But
yeah.
Right now, seriously, the rumors are out there.
Yeah.
If you could take 161 and 163 over the next 2 years as a Giants fan, would that be good enough?
No, not in my opinion. No. No, it's not. And 888-957-9570, if you guys want to weigh in, how do you feel about the higher thoughts, concerns, excitement level? 888-957-9570. Here's where I'm at. Boch was leaving. It was the end of a dynasty. They saddled themselves with some really bad contracts. So the transition wasn't going to come quickly. That's all right. It happens. You get caught up. You love the players. You give out some deals that you probably shouldn't have done. And in hindsight, it's easy to look back and say they shouldn't have done this. Fine. Whatever. whatever. You'll take it. You won more World Series in the last decade than any other team. You're always going to have that. So there's always a price with something like that, right? There's always going to be a downfall. You can't maintain forever. The Warriors are going through it right now. And on the flip side, the Niners are showing you what can happen on the other end if you take the right time, take the right steps, and put yourself in a position to bounce back. But last year was the first year of the Zaidi era where we said, this is just a throwaway year. It's Bochy's final year. He's not going to be Zaidi's guy. You still got these contracts. It's a tough situation. You're finally signaling to everyone it's the start of a new era, but you're not launching in completely. So give Zaidi a freebie year to try to get himself set up and figure out what he wants to do. I was totally cool with that. Now Bochy's out. You're going to clear out the rest of the coaching staff. You've got your new general manager. So your front office is set, and you've got your manager in Gabe Kapler, so your managerial staff is set. You got to figure out what you're going to do with Bumgarner and some of these other deals, but there's still a lot of red tape and a lot of bad contracts to handle, so I'm going to give you another year, right? I'm giving you the one freebie, and now I'm giving you this year to sort it out. After that, it's time for results. After this year. So this year, if you're not that good, that's fine. That's fine. I'm willing to be patient. But then when we get to year three of Farhan Zaidi, I expect that team to be, like I talked about with the Niners coming into this season, you better be in the hunt come August/September. That's it. You don't need to win the NL West. You don't need to win the World Series. You don't even need to make the damn playoffs. But you better be in the hunt. All right? Enough of these seasons when you're so far out of it by the end of April, it doesn't even matter. You needed some miracle July just to sniff the wild card hunt, and then immediately it fell apart, and that's fine. But by the end of this season, this coming season, the transition better be apparent that they're ready to at least contend for a wild card spot. I think that is reasonable. By year three, I think it is reasonable that you should at least be in the hunt come August.
Yeah, so that basically means you'd be above 500 for the 2 years, unless you were totally disastrous this year. If you go 62-100, all bets are off for everybody this upcoming year. You can't be downright terrible this upcoming season. But I agree with you. No, I don't think that you can go out and lose 100 in the first year of Gabe Kapler. I think the controversial nature of the hire, the fact that he hasn't done all the things Lowe's talking about, gravitas, and he hasn't had success. If he's a complete disaster and they lose 100 games, then all bets are off. But I agree with you to the extent that if they go 75-87 and it's another down year, but they're showing signs that helps on the way. Joey Bart comes up in September. You see some of the young pitchers start to flourish. That's a different story. And that, I think, is basically what the baseline is as far as expectations go.
It's tough to put a number on it.
It is.
It's tough to put a number on it. I just, this year, if it's not super competitive, fine. I don't want to see a disaster.
Right.
But if it's something like what we had this past year, whatever. But then get ready. Then it's time. You're able to clear out some. By then, you better figure out the finances. Stop telling me you're one of these wealthy organizations. The wealthy organizations buy their way out of problems. The Red Sox bought their way out of problems. The Yanks buy their way out of problems. Buy your way out of some of these problems. If you're just going to sit back on some of these deals, I know it's easy to say because it's not my money, but don't sell me on this idea that you're one of the big spenders in Major League Baseball when you just sit back and take it on some of these deals. And you know exactly what deals I'm talking about. So by the end of next season, this upcoming season, by the end of that, you better start to have this thing figured out where you're ready to compete. Again, I'm not saying World Series contender, but you better be competitive by the end of August, 1 year from this coming August. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah, I think you got to compete this year. I don't think you compete for a title. Of course not. But I'm just saying it's the way in which you lose. And when you, a couple years back when there was only getting one run, we're like, man, what's going on? Where's the bats? Do something. Manufacture a run. So I think that you got to see those things. They're going to go out and they're going to do what they can. And at least you want to be exciting. If you can't win games, at least be exciting. People love excitement. They want to see hits. They want to see guys get on base. They want to see guys hit the home run, the long ball. Those things. And I'm sorry, that's here to stay. I know guys talking about the strikeout rate and all those different things, but people don't care anymore. Now it's about the home runs, the big splash. So they're going to go ahead and do that. You want this team to do that, and that's what you want. You want them to manufacture runs. You want this team to score and be competitive starting right away.
Warrior Wednesday is brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922, and Great Clips. Great haircuts start here. I want you to take a listen to a piece of audio we have. This is Gabe Kapler last season as the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. He goes on the morning show on WIP in Philadelphia with Angelo Cataldi. And they're talking about a specific incident. The incident in question occurred on Monday, June 3rd. Monday, June 3rd. I think the Phillies were playing the Padres. Andrew McCutchen's on first base. Gene Segura's batting. He pops up to second baseman Ian Kinsler. He decides he's not going to run out to first base. He's popped out. He's going to be lazy. He kind of just meanders his way to first. Kinsler notices this. So Kinsler lets the ball hit the ground rather than catches it. He picks it up. He immediately throws to first. So they get the out on Segura because he's not hustling. And then McCutchen finds himself in a pickle. And during the pickle, he blows out his knee. He blows out his knee. So if Segura's hustling, Kapler catches the ball. Segura's out. McCutchen goes back to first. He's fine. But instead, he blows his knee out and he's lost for the season. That happens on a Monday. On Friday, Kapler goes on WIP with Angelo Cataldi, and Cataldi wants to talk about how they handled the incident. Philly fans were outraged that Segura stayed in the game, that they didn't yank him out of the game and bench him for what happened there. Take a listen to the exchange.
He didn't run. That's why Kinsler let the ball drop. If he did run, Kinsler would have caught the ball, and McCutchen wouldn't have been in a rundown. True. Yeah,
if there was a ball called earlier in the game, and
no, you're just trying to complicate a simple issue, Gabe.
It's not, okay, let's go back.
He got caught in a rundown and blew his knee out.
Let's go back to your issue. Let's say I decide to take him out of the game in that situation.
Yeah,
something like that.
Okay.
It doesn't make Gene Segura better. It doesn't make the Phillies better. And I'm not going to do it just because you are upset. Again, I'm going to go back to what
okay,
I said earlier.
Fair enough.
This is a matter of being direct. It's a question of common sense. Segura has been one of our best players. He doesn't deserve to be scapegoated like this. He leads our team in batting average. He's been our best base runner. He's stabilized our defense. He's played for us hard all year. Kutch and the rest of his teammates think he's a professional. Those are what stand out to me, not what you're saying.
This goes on like another 7 minutes. It gets more heated. There's an exchange at the end where they're yelling and screaming, and Kapler's telling Cataldi he doesn't speak for the fans, and Cataldi says he goes out and talks to a heck of a lot more fans than Kapler does. It's fantastic. It's radio gold. We'll play more of it for you later, but you hear that right there. This is a situation where there's a fan base that's very upset with the way a manager has handled a player in a very controversial decision, and the manager goes out and publicly defends his guy. So how does that resonate in the clubhouse?
Well, I think it depends on the player, like Cap was saying. You know, when you look at, you listen to Gabe, you're like, how does it resonate in the clubhouse? If Tom Brady throws a ball and it's high, and you get the, and you know the guy's running a four route, and they're sitting down there playing single high safety deep, and you know it's one guy, the middle of the field's covered, and it's a bad throw. He just throws it there, and knowing that Tom Brady knows better than that, and he runs up there, and the guys get freaking knocked out and hurt, blow out his knee. Are you viewing that the same? Would you view a guy in the NFL that doesn't work hard, a guy that's been, you know, known to quit on you, a guy that you know that, you know, he's lazy, you know, like the Panda, and when not the Panda that you're getting with the Giants, but in there doing snaps. If it's that particular guy, you look at it sometimes differently. So, yeah, was it a lazy play? Absolutely. Which McCutchen probably wouldn't have got hurt? Absolutely. So, is he disappointed? No question. But if you look at the guy's pass and say, is he a pro? Is this one of those plays that, hey, look, he should have did that. Can he learn from this? So, that's where I'm at on this. I think that you can look at certain incidents, and it depends on the player, in my opinion.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.